Well, good evening. Let's open our Bibles tonight.
Book of Proverbs, chapter 26. Proverbs 26. And that's going to be our starting place this evening. We're going to jump around a fair amount in the book of Proverbs and a couple of other places in the Bible. But we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 26 this evening. I'm glad to see you. Glad that you're here. It does me good to see you, and I hope that you feel the same way about being together this evening. It always is good to remind ourselves of what we have in common in Christ. Look forward to that eternal day where we abide forever in His fellowship and in fellowship with each other. And may the Lord hasten that day. Hopefully you've had a wonderful afternoon and a good Father's Day, as Curtis mentioned this morning. And hopefully that has been a good time for your family to get together, maybe make some phone calls this afternoon, or Skype if you're into that now. But good afternoon for everybody, I do hope. Well, let's get the obvious on the table. Gossip is a way of life in our culture. It's pervasive. It's just out there in our culture. Our culture is saturated in it. In our culture, there's a lot of money, in fact, to be made in gossip when you stop and think about it. Think about all the tabloids in the grocery store on the checkout shelf. Think about all the tabloid TV shows that just cater in celebrity news and gossip and innuendo and rumor. I'll tell you, it's big business to spread around celebrities' business. And of course, the producers of such magazines and TV shows, why is there so much money in it? Why do they produce it in the volume that they do? It's because they're just meeting the demand of the market. There is a market for gossip. In our culture, we like to traffic in other people's business. Celebrities especially, but then we like to traffic in each other's business as well. Even though he was British, Oscar Wilde, I think, well epitomized or summarized our culture when he once quipped, "If you can't say something good about someone, come over here and sit next to me." Because that's how we are. Let's be honest, we like to hear what's going on in other people's lives, even if we don't need to know about it, even if it's none of our business. We like it. Gossip as a way of life is so common in our culture, so much a part of who we are, that it often finds its way, I'm afraid, into Christians' habits of the heart, finds its way into our way of living and thinking about other people and talking about other people. And when it finds its way into the life of individual Christians, as I'm convinced it does, it then finds its way into the life of many congregations of God's people. For too many people and too many congregations of the people of God, we are at best careless and at worst intentional in the negative ways in which we speak about each other and talk about each other behind each other's backs. And all the more so in an era where you have mobile phones and you have Twitter and you have Facebook and all these technologies which make it so easy to almost immediately spread whatever we've just heard to everybody we know. We need to be careful. Because here's the ugly truth about gossip, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what we need to understand this evening. Gossip has made the church, for some people, into a place of pain. It's turned what should be a loving fellowship of God's people into a place where what has been said about them has destroyed them emotionally and personally and perhaps even spiritually. Gossip makes a congregation dysfunctional. It destroys trust. Because we wonder what other people are saying about us behind our back when we've been gossiped about. It creates insecurity. Because when we look at our brethren, we wonder what they're really thinking or saying about us when we're not around. The fact of the matter is, and what I believe the New Testament makes clear, if you were to take a concordance and trace different passages where Paul talks about slandering each other and gossiping about each other, gossip simply isn't possible where love is truly practiced. Where kindness is a true part of our character and thus the character of the congregation. Gossip is difficult. Has a difficult time taking root and thriving. Got your Bible, Proverbs 26 by now? Let's read a few verses to get us started this evening. Wise man says this. He says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out." You can't have a fire if you quit throwing logs on it. "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention dies down or quiets down." When there's no way to whisper, to gossip, to keep rumors going, the trouble just naturally goes away. Like charcoal to hot embers, and wood to fire. So is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost part of the body. And especially that last part, verse 22, that really hits home, doesn't it? The words of a whisper are like dainty morsels, because unless I'm the only sinner in this room this morning, unless I'm the only person in his life as ever engaged in gossip, either to give it or to receive it, we all know of the perverse pleasure that comes from hearing about somebody else's business. They're like dainty morsels. It's like the sweet stuff, and you like it, and you take it into you. And it goes down into the innermost part of the body. We like gossip, if we're honest with ourselves. We like it. We want people to talk with us. Sometimes we hope that they'll share with us what they know about somebody else. The thing about gossip, though, is that it goes deep within us, the wise man says, and it ultimately corrupts us. In Proverbs 18, the wise man puts it this way. He says, a brother offended is harder won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a citadel. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied, and he will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? I mean, we talk about sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, which just simply isn't true. Sometimes words are much more devastating than anything that anybody can physically do to us. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Of course, that phrase can go a couple different ways. How can death and life be in the power of the tongue? A couple different ways that's possible. On the one hand, my mouth, what I say can affect my destiny, what happens to me. I either answer wisely or unwisely in my boss's office. What I say can affect my fortunes. What I say can make me look like a fool or make me look wise. I like the story about two men who were gossiping about Winston Churchill at a gathering once upon a time. Churchill was sitting just a couple rows up in front of them. And they were looking at each other, and one of them says, "Oh, look, that's Winston Churchill." And the other says, "Yes, you know, they say he's getting senile." And the other one says back to the first one, "They say he should step aside and let younger men run the country, more capable men." And when the ceremony, the function that they were attending was over, Churchill stood up and turned around and looked at them and said, "You know, guys, they also say Churchill is getting deaf." Life and death and the power of the tongue. Sometimes we're the fool, and we come out foolish on the basis of what we say. Our fortunes, how people perceive us, what they see when they look at us, is a function sometimes of what we say. But life and death are in the power of the tongue in another way. In another sense, because my words and what I say about other people can either enrich their lives and give them hope and comfort, or what I say about them can absolutely destroy them. A room of this size this evening, and where most of us have lived long, I'm sure most all of us have had the experience of knowing the pain of finding out what somebody has said about us. And we thought that we were friends. We thought that they liked us. We thought they respected us. And then we find out what they were saying behind our back when we weren't there is anything but love and respect and comforting. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And I will tell you, gossip is one of the most powerful ways that the tongue can bring death to somebody else. And we need to think about that. So how do we define gossip? How do we define gossip? There's a couple different ways, I think, that we need to understand and define gossip. First of all, gossip, and this is, I think, the part that we can all agree upon, and I think most of us recognize and realize, gossip is just simply when you tell wrong information to anyone. When you spread a lie, when you spread a rumor that you know isn't true just because you want to tear somebody down or get even with them or make yourself look better. In your own position. And we all recognize that that's wrong. Rumor mongering and trafficking in falsehood, that's wrong. We get that. Nobody would debate that's gossip and that's wrong when we tell the wrong information to anyone. But here's the thing. There's another set of gossip that we often don't recognize and therefore a trap that we fall into. Because sometimes people defend themselves and say, "Well, I wasn't gossiping because what I said was true." And that's not the point. Because it's also gossip when we tell something that's right or something that's true, we traffic in true information. But we're talking to somebody who doesn't need to know what we're saying about somebody else. I may know things about you that I have no business telling someone else over here about. It may all be true. I just don't need to talk about it, though. When it comes to gossip, the hard thing for us to accept and realize, the reality of gossip, is that whether something is true or not is not the point in gossip. When the rubber meets the road when it comes to gossip, the issue is, does the person I'm passing this on to need to know, have a right to know, what I'm sharing? Sometimes what we need to ask ourselves when we begin to say something, it's not a lie, it's true. We're not lying. But when we start to tell somebody something about somebody else, the question we need to ask ourselves, is the person I'm talking to, is the person I'm sharing this with, is the person I'm passing this on to, are they going to be part of the solution? Do they need to know this so that they can help us resolve the problem or redeem a situation? Do they need to know this? Are they part of the solution? Or am I just passing it on for the sake of I enjoy talking about other people and their business? It's gossip when I tell somebody something about somebody else and the person I'm talking to really has no role in fixing the situation or helping the person. That's gossip. It's gossip when the information that I am conveying may not be my information. I may not have the right to pass on what I know about somebody else. And we forget that sometimes. It's not a matter of whether or not it's true. Sometimes it's a matter of, do I have the right to pass on what I'm saying? I may have no right whatsoever to be sharing the information that I'm passing on. Proverbs 20 and verse 19 puts this point this way. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. In other words, part of the problem with the gossiper is that they reveal things they have no right to share. They may be true, that's not the issue, but they're sharing things that are not theirs by right to share. They have no business trafficking in that information, sharing it around, spreading it around. It's gossip when I'm looking for agreement or alliances. I tell somebody something that's true, that's my legalistic out. That's why I'm not gossiping in what I'm saying, because every word that I just said was true. But listen, it's gossip if the only reason I'm saying it to somebody else is because what I really want is for them to agree with me about how wrong somebody is, or how silly they are, or how scandalous it is. That's gossip. When I'm talking to somebody, when I'm sharing somebody what I know about somebody else, and I'm not looking to resolve the problem, I'm not trying to create a means of reconciliation or healing the breach or correcting whatever it is, but rather I'm just looking for somebody else to validate my shock and my outrage, to tell me, you know, you're right, that's nuts, can you believe that? When I'm just looking for somebody to agree with me about how silly or out of touch or outright wrong somebody is, that's gossip. And I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that gossip will destroy the unity of a congregation. When we gossip, and the reality is all we're really looking for is people to agree with us about how nutty somebody is or how wrong somebody was, and all we're looking for is validation of our opinions about somebody else, that's gossip, and it will destroy the unity of a congregation. That will lead to factions and cliques in a congregation, because what we're doing is we're talking about each other. We're creating allegiances around how wrong we think somebody is, or how out of touch we think that elder is, or how boring the preacher is, or whatever it is. We're creating factions, we're creating cliques, and I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's of the Satan himself. The gossip will destroy a congregation. How do you know you're gossiping? I'll tell you. If the conversation begins with you saying something like, "Did you know?" Or, "I hear that." Or, "Have you heard that?" Or, "Don't tell anyone else, but." See, there's a whole phrase, we have a whole repertoire of phrases that we use when we're gossiping. And there are signs in our actions, in our manners. We deep down know that we're gossiping, even if everything we're saying is true. Have you ever done this? You quit talking or change the subject when somebody else comes into the room. You ever done that? You were gossiping. That's why you changed the subject. You were nervous about that. If you would be embarrassed for the person you're talking about to know what you are saying about them, you're gossiping. If you're whispering in your conversation because you recognize that what you are saying could have a destructive impact if it were more widely known or reached the wrong people, you may well be gossiping. And the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, you and I, we need to look in the mirror and we need to be honest with ourselves about why it is that we gossip and we like it so much. There are a number of reasons why we gossip. Most honestly and first and foremost, just because we're perverse sometimes. Because we're perverse. Because our anger or our spirit or desire for revenge gets control of us. And because we're upset about somebody, so we want to talk about them and how wrong they were to do that to us and how right we are about taking it easy on them, because I'm not going to get even and I'm not going to make a big deal about it. I'm just going to talk to you about it. And sometimes, even in the most darkest moments, sometimes gossip is motivated in our perversity by the simple fact that we want to actively diminish, damage, or destroy somebody's reputation, what others think about somebody, because we feel threatened, because we're angry, because we want to get even. Sometimes we gossip, if we're honest, just because we're perverse, because rather than getting even through an actual confrontation, we'll just do it quietly, secretly. We'll become the whisperer that the book of Proverbs talks about. And that's how we'll get our justice. Sometimes we gossip because if we're honest with ourselves, we're just cowards. Sometimes we're cowards. We simply lack the courage to say what we are saying to the person's face. You ever notice how much easier it is to talk about somebody than to talk to somebody? You ever notice that? We gossip because we're just cowards, outright cowards sometimes, and we simply lack the courage to say it to somebody's face. You ever been in a conversation with somebody, and the conversation goes this way, the other person talks about somebody for a while, and then they say, and I'd say it to their face too. You know it's a lie, don't you? Because if they were really going to do it, they would have done it by now. That's a cop-out. They'll do no such thing. That's why they're talking to you. Because they don't have the courage to actually say what they think needs to be said to that person's face. And that's the spirit of gossip. We gossip because it gives us a feeling of power. It gives us a feeling of power. We have secret knowledge about somebody. We have the dirt. We have the goods on somebody that others don't know. And that puts us in the driver's seat because we've got power. We've got control of the situation. And we can share and shape what other people think about person X over here because we are in control. We've got knowledge that nobody else has and we can use that. It gives us a sense of power over others. It gives us a sense of power over those who listen to our gossip because we see in their eyes and in their reactions how their rapt attention is focused on us and we like it because they want to know too what we know about somebody else. And so it gives us a perverse sense of power as we talk about others. Frankly, for some of us, we gossip because it makes us feel better about ourselves. I'll tell you, no matter how bad I'm feeling about myself today, talking about you and your issues will always make me come out better. That's the spirit of gossip. That's what we do. I'll talk about your flaws and your feelings. I'll do it with others who will agree with me and acknowledge how wrong you are and how awful you are and how messed up you are. And that's a wonderful way, if I'm honest with myself, that's a wonderful way if I can even recognize it in myself. That's a wonderful way of compensating for my own insecurities. I'll destroy your name, your character, your person with somebody else to make me feel better about myself. And so we gossip because it makes us feel better. To focus on the flaws of others and get other people to sit around and listen with us and talk with us and agree with us about that. For some of us, let's also be honest, it's just a habit. Like I mentioned at our beginning point this evening, we live in a culture that is absolutely soaked and saturated in gossip. It is a way of life. It is big business. It drives entire media empires in this country. And not just is it a part of our culture in terms of business and popular culture, it is just a habit with most people that we know. In your workplace, in school, and perhaps your extended family, we are used to the fact that everybody seems gossips about everybody else, or at least so it seems sometimes. And because we are not always on guard as carefully as we should be against the world and the subtle ways it influences us, we, because we're in the world more than we're here assembled together, we pick up the habits of the world. And one of those bad habits we pick up is gossip. And it becomes a habit with us, and one that we don't even realize we're doing, like a nervous twitch of the finger or a nervous tick that we have where we do this, that, or the other. Some gesture we might have. Gossip is one of our habits. And many times we don't even realize that. And finally, why do we gossip? Well, it may just be, to be honest, that we lack self-control. You ever begun a conversation with somebody that goes this way? Listen, I just need to vent for a minute. Can you listen to me? And then what happens? We talk about our boss, or we talk about our spouse, or we talk about our children, or we talk about our mother or our father, or we talk about somebody else in our lives, and we say, I just need to vent. Can you listen for a minute? And what we're really doing is we're sharing all the ugliness and all the frustration, all the things that we ought to be saying to them face to face, trying to redeem or repair the relationship, but instead we say, I just need to vent. And when we say that, what we're actually doing, the whole reason we preface what we're about to say with that phrase is because it is a tacit admission that I know I ought not to say what I'm about to say. But because I prefaced it with, I just need to vent, well, here we go. And then I let loose. And you'll find out what I really think about my boss, things I wouldn't have courage to say to my own, to his face. You'll find out the real frustrations with my spouse that I always have the integrity to share with him or her first. And the thing that we need to be clear, listen, there are times and places to seek counsel from somebody about situations and relationships in our lives, but when we go to somebody and we say, I just need to vent, let's be honest, are we really looking for help or counsel? Or sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll admit that what we're really doing has no constructive point in at all. We just, as we put it, want to get this off my chest. We're not looking for them to pray with us. We're not going to ask them to counsel us about how to resolve the problem or approach the other person. We just want them to give us solidarity in our frustrations. We want them to agree with us again about what's wrong with the other person. And when we do that, when there is no constructive purpose to the venting, we're not actually asking them for help. How would you approach this person? Give me advice. Or will you pray with me about this relationship and what I need to do about it? When there's no, because let's be honest, most of us, that's not where these conversations go, are they? They are simply, we leave all the destructive material on the table. That's what we traffic in. That's what we talk about. And we feel better not because we've actually sought a spiritual solution to our frustrations. We feel better simply because we've gotten somebody to sit across the table from us, shake their head at us, agree with us. And we're no closer to wholesome relationships for the effort. And all it's because we lack self-control. Because it's a habit. Because it makes us feel better about ourselves. Because it gives us a feeling of power over other people. Because we're cowards. And frankly, sometimes because we're just perverse. But have you ever seriously thought about what gossip really does? You ever thought about the real destruction that gossip wreaks in relationships? Because make no mistake about it, God takes gossip very seriously. In the book of Romans chapter 1, we won't take time to read it this evening, but if you will want to go back to the book of Romans chapter 1, and there you read, especially in the later part of that chapter, that serious, substantial, and shocking catalog of the perverse iniquity of the pagan world that God is condemning through the gospel. It lists all sorts of abominations, murdering, homosexuality, and all manner of sexual immorality. But in that list in Romans 1, you know what makes the cut with God? Well, it's an abomination and part of the evidence of the pagan world, our world's loss of its moral compass and bearings. Gossip. It's in there in the list with homosexuality and anything else that you would be shocked and horrified to ever participate in yourself. Gossip's there. Why? Because God knows what gossip can do, the destruction that it brings. And in particular, I want you to notice three things that the Bible says gossip will do. Number one, gossip will destroy relationships. it will absolutely destroy relationships. In Proverbs 16 and verse 28, a perverse man spreads strife, the wise man says, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Proverbs 25 and verse 23, the north wind brings forth rain, and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. The way we put it in our culture, just as the sea breeze brings in the moisture that brings in the storms, so too will gossip produce anger and strife and broken relationships, just like one follows from the other. You can bank on it, God says, that if you engage in gossip and slander and whispering about each other and backbiting, stabbing each other in the back and talking about one another, I guarantee you, God says, it's going to wreck relationships in your life. The angry countenance naturally follows. Because gossip destroys relationships. But not only that, gossip destroys reputations. Have you ever noticed how once you've been gossiped to about somebody, have you ever noticed how even if you have a hard time believing it's true, even if you don't deep down think it's true, have you ever noticed how the next time you see that person or look at that person, you have a hard time seeing them the same way anymore because of what you've heard, and you've been given the opportunity to even entertain the thought that they might be capable of something? Gossip destroys reputations. It's interesting. Proverbs 18 and verse 17 captures this dynamic a little bit. Proverbs 18 and verse 17 says this, "The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him." Now, if you have children, you get this verse. First child comes in, tells you what happened. And it's all very plausible until child two comes in and you hear their side of the story, and it doesn't quite match what child one says. See, that's the danger of gossip. Somebody tells you something about somebody else. The other person's not there to rebut it or say that's not true or that's not so. That's not the way it happened. That's not what I meant when I said it. They're not there to defend themselves. They're not there to give the alternative perspective on what's just been said about them. That's the danger. And because what happens is just human nature. The first thing we hear is what we want to think is probably true or probably right if it's at all plausible or possible. And that's why I do think when we hear stuff about other people, we don't always look at them the same way again. We won't approach them about it. We won't seek what the truth is. We'll just wonder about them now. We'll have those questions about them because their reputation has been damaged by the gossip that gets back to us. Because there's something about us, ladies and gentlemen. Have you noticed this about yourself? There's something common in human beings that we, if we're not careful, our natural disposition is to believe the worst about each other. You ever notice that? It's part of why 1 Corinthians 13 is so remarkable when it talks about love and it says, "Love thinketh no evil." That's revolutionary. That's different because that's not what we naturally do. We naturally think the worst about each other. I hear what somebody says about me. They were maybe gossiping about me, but I naturally put the worst possible construction. They may have meant it as a compliment. I take it as an insult. I hear something negative about somebody. Somebody's gossiping to me about somebody. I hear something negative about them. And because, again, they're not here to defend themselves or give the alternative perspective or tell us what they really meant, my default reaction is to at least entertain the possibility that maybe it's so. Maybe this person isn't what I always thought they were. Maybe they're different. Maybe they're a hypocrite, and I just didn't realize it. I like the way one man put it because I think he's right. He said, "Some people will believe anything if it's whispered to them." I think he well captures a dark side of human nature and about ourselves. The thing about gossip is that it destroys reputations. The person being talked about has no chance for rebuttal, for an alternative perspective. And the thing about gossip's destruction, especially when it comes to other people's reputation, is that the destruction that it brings cannot always be repaired. There's a great Jewish story, a Yiddish story, about a man who had told many horrible lies about his local rabbi. He did not like the man, he despised the man, and so he went around spreading all sorts of rumors and untruth about the rabbi. Eventually he came to his senses. He was deeply sorry for what he had done, and so he approached the rabbi and he asked him, he said, is there anything I can do? What can I do to make this right? And the rabbi sighed, and the rabbi said, "I tell you what, here's what you can do to make amends. I want you to take two pillows. I want you to go to the public square. And there I want you to take those two pillows. I want you to cut those two pillows open. And I want you to wave them in the air and let all the feathers and all the fluff out. And then come back to me. And the man did as the rabbi asked. He went to the square. He emptied the pillows out and shook them out like he was asked. And he comes back to the rabbi and he says, I did what you asked. Now what? And the rabbi smiled and said, now to realize how you can't always fix what you do when you gossip, I want you to go back to the square and collect all the feathers. Because once you let it loose, guess what? You can't always pull it back. Once you have taken somebody else down a notch or two in another person's estimation because you have gossiped, you may not be able to fix the damage. You might repent of it. You might let her go back and you might tell the person you were gossiping with and say, listen, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have shared that with you. I shouldn't have told you that. I want you to forget about it. But you know what? Especially when we've been justifying ourselves in our gossiping by saying, well, everything I'm saying is true. The problem is, now even especially if I told something about somebody else to a third party who didn't need to know it, and it is true, where do they go to get their reputation back? That's why God hates gossip so much. Because it destroys relationships, it destroys reputations. And because here's the other honest truth, gossip corrupts us. You gossip long enough and you're eventually going to become paranoid about what other people are saying about you. You gossip long enough and you're going to lose the ability to form true relationships based upon trust and confidence. You gossip long enough and you're going to lose sight of what it means to love your brother or sister. As the wise man put it in Proverbs 18 and verse 8, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down to the innermost parts of the body. Do you get that? Do you get that? We traffic in gossip because we like it. It's fun. It's interesting. It's fascinating. I like to know that other people aren't as great. It makes me feel better about myself, whatever it may be. We traffic in gossip because we like it. The morsels are dainty and sweet and desirable, but it goes down to the innermost part of our being. You ever eaten too much sweet stuff? I couldn't do this at 18, but I can do it now. You eat too much sugar, you eat too much ice cream, you eat too many cookies, and what happens? Pleasant in the moment, but it ruins me on the inside. And gossip does that to us as well, because ultimately, not only are we sinning against others and wronging others and destroying relationships with others and destroying reputations of others, but ultimately we are destroying within ourselves the ability to have an honest and authentic and trusting relationship. And gossip thus ruins us. So what are we going to do about gossip? Let me ask you to look at one more passage with me. Couple of suggestions will bring us to a close. Got your Bible still? I want you to look with me. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's wrap this up. Let's listen to Paul's inspired wisdom. A couple observations about what we need to do about gossip in our lives. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 29, here's what the apostle writes. He says, let no unwholesome word. He's not just talking about gossip. This is what we're about to read and what we're about to talk about is going to cover a whole lot of sins of the mouth. Sins of speech. Listen to what Paul says. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. You know what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, when we start to talk about each other? We need to put our speech, our temptation to gossiping or otherwise, we need to put it to the test that Paul lays out in this passage. You want to get a grip on gossip? Number one, when you start to talk about somebody, first of all, just ask yourself, is it true? is what I'm saying true? Because if it's not true, the conversation's over right there. Is it unwholesome? Because Paul said, don't let any unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Is there something fundamentally corrupting about what we're about to talk about what I'm about to share? Does it edify? How is my talking about this person to this other person, how is it actually going to make the person I'm talking to better? How will they be made better as a Christian, as a child of God? How will they be better and more complete in their love for their brethren? How will I make them better? How will I edify them by telling them about the sin that somebody's committed against me? How's it going to make them a better Christian? Or how frustrated, or how much somebody annoys me. I just can't stand their laugh. Or they talk too much. Or they tell me boring stories and I can't ever get away from them. How does sharing that, or my feelings about somebody, when I want to gossip about somebody, that third person, am I actually edifying them or making them a better Christian? Am I drawing them into tighter bonds of love by what I say? How does it edify? That's what Paul wants to know. Does it give grace? Is it kind? Is it charitable? Is it a gift, what I'm about to share with you? I'll tell you how annoying somebody is. Is that a gift? A verbal gift? And here's where the rubber really meets the road. Does this need to be said to this person? Jesus in the gospel says, we'll give an account for every idle word we speak. On the day of judgment, when God and you were having the ultimate conversation, and he asks you to explain to him why you thought it was necessary to share what you know about somebody else with that third person, what are you going to say to him? Oh, I had to vent. I just had to get it off my chest. No. What are you going to say to God on the last day when he wants to know why you thought it was actually necessary to say whatever it is that you said? God's going to ask you, where was the grace in that? God's going to ask you, how are you edifying anybody in what you said? Because by your words you will be acquitted, or by your words you will be condemned. Those are the frightening statements of our Lord. Getting a grip on gossip, what do you need to know? Don't do it yourself. Don't do it yourself. That goes without saying. But here's the flip side. Here's the part that we forget, because it takes two to gossip, doesn't it? One to talk, one to listen. And that's the side that we often let ourselves off the hook on. Let me tell you what you do if you're the one listening and somebody starts. I just got to tell you. You won't believe, but. You hear one of those phrases and you know that we're about to go somewhere we don't need to be. Two things. Number one, you stop that conversation. You have the courage and the integrity to stop that conversation. If the reason that person is sharing what they're sharing with you is not because they want you to pray with you about, want you to pray with them about it, not because they're seeking some sort of counsel or spiritual guidance about how to get right with the person they're talking about, when they're just sharing with you just a dish, when they're sharing with you just a vent, when they're sharing with you not because they want to reconcile with that person, but because they want you to agree with them about how awful that person is, you stop that conversation. Don't be part of their sin. Don't give in to the temptation of the dainty morsel and decide to listen because you're just curious and you like to know about what's other people's dirt because you like to compare your own life and see where you measure up or how you stack up. You stop that conversation. Number two, let me tell you what else you do. You send them back to the person they're talking about. You have the courage and you have the integrity to send them back to the person they're talking about. You say, you know what? I don't need to know that. Why don't you share that with them? I appreciate that you have concerns about this person. Have you ever talked with them about it? Listen, if you think that they're in sin like that, have you confronted them? Have you tried to restore them? But you send them back the person they're talking about, because if they can't talk with that other person about it, they ought not be talking with you about it, and you ought not be listening. Gossip will destroy you. It'll corrupt you. It will destroy relationships. It will destroy reputations. It will make the love and the unity that God desires for his people to have within themselves as a congregation, it will make it impossible. And that's why Satan loves it so much. When he can sneak that little bit of our culture into our congregation, into our fellowship, because he knows that it will ruin us. We won't tolerate sexual immorality. We won't tolerate homosexuality. But I'll tell you what, if he can get God's people to wink at gossip, if he can get God's people to form cliques and factions based upon how certain groups feel about other members of the congregation, well, he's done his work just as well. Let's close with what the psalm says in Psalm 34, beginning in verse 12. Who's the man who desires life, loves length of days, that he may see good? Who's the man who wants to live a good life and see much good in his life? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace. Seek harmony. Seek wholeness and well-being. Seek healthy relationships where we can talk honestly with each other because we trust each other, not because where that's possible. And I'm not worried about you sharing with others what I have in my honesty shared with you about myself. You want a healthy and robust life? Watch your tongue. That's what God says. And may we have the courage and the faith to do what God asks of us in this regard. You're here this evening, you're not a child of God. We want to close this day with the opportunity for you to get your life made right with God. We talked tonight primarily about one of the ways that we often and don't fully realize that we fall short of God's glory. But maybe you recognize all too well this evening that your life is not acceptable to God the way it's currently arranged. Maybe it's because you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's because you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. We want to help you with that this evening. You come forward, you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Having repented of your sins, we'll baptize you and you can be made right with God tonight. You're a child of God already, but you recognize that your relationship with him is not what it should be. And make no mistake about it, if your relationship with your brethren is not what it should be, your relationship with God cannot be what it ought to be. Maybe you need to get right with somebody here this evening. And so doing, you can get right with God again. Maybe you'd like for us to pray with you and for you about whatever it is that's on your heart and on your mind, whatever it is that has separated you from your Maker. We'd like to do that. If you have a spiritual need, let us help you. Let us pray with you. Let us baptize you. Whatever you need, share that need with us right now while we stand, while we sing.